The 2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota Footy. Oh, what a feeling.
Amart Furniture's mid-season sale is ending. Rush in today for a great deal.
Your Saturday morning is sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Jeez, this is good mail.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
And I thought I was a bit of a legend.
And Triple M footy and Herald Sun pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
I might do this show nude.
Wow.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, welcome back to another edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Jay, Joey and Sarah Ollie. I'm in the chair for Emma Friedman, who is on maternity leave. Good morning, boys.
Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome, Sarah.
Yes, thank you.
A bit of class. We needed that, didn't we, Joey? We need some help when it's just you and I sort of chewing the fat. So welcome aboard, Sarah. We know you're from
Happy
Fox
to be
Footy.
Here.
Yeah,
I am, yes.
Of course. So, I love the Saturday nights that you do. You sort of, you know, you're there with Dermy and Jono, two of the best blokes in footy. You know, sometimes at the end of the night you might have a drink or have a cheese platter. And
a bit of Baileys.
How do you go handling Dermy?
Oh, you've just got to let him run free.
Yeah.
You don't interrupt him. You just let him go somewhere.
Yep.
His latest one is baby Gatorade.
Right.
He doesn't like it when the players have Gatorade showers and it gets in their eyes.
Yeah.
So he reckons that we need a baby Gatorade, which is kind of like baby sunscreen, so it doesn't hurt the eyes.
Right. Okay, I see.
So that's what we do on Saturday night.
What do you think of his hair? So I can't not listen to Dermy or watch Dermy and not be distracted by the hair at times. You sort of get that would be hard to deal with on live TV.
It is. Actually, he came in the other day and he'd been at the hairdresser and it looked quite nice. It had been quite quiffed. But usually that's also like Dermot just running wild, Joey.
Yeah. Yep.
And Jono's one of the best blokes in football, isn't he? Like,
yeah. Smiling assassin.
Is he not the happiest man on the planet? Like, he could break his leg and he'd still be, I'll be back in 6 weeks, gang. It's all cherry ripe soon. So welcome aboard, Sarah.
And Thank you.
You're in much better fitness level than Joey and I, it's fair to say.
Excuse me?
Well, definitely Joey.
Joey, you're as fat as a house.
Three games of basketball this week.
Doesn't look like it.
Should see me. I'm on fire.
So you bought the recently, you had the size pair of 34 pants. What happened?
Oh, they're too small.
Joey.
I need bigger pants. Yeah, yeah. I thought I'd still fit into a 32, Sarah, and then I realised 32 way too tight.
32.
Stretching
out to the 34.
Abs are made in winter, so
that's right.
Get started.
Yeah. So what do you do? You have a netball, t-ball, softball, basketball?
I do play netball, just with the gal friends from school. So we're 12 years out of school now. We're still playing, which is just fun on a Monday night.
Yep.
Starting to feel my age, though. We're playing against 16-year-old girls at the moment, and they're very fit.
Yep.
They're also
competitive.
Especially in the fourth quarter when I can't really run, I just start firing off barbs at the opposition.
I can imagine Sarah being a little bit lippy. Sarah would give a little bit of lip. What about your footy team, Sarah? Who do you support?
Yep.
I'm a Swan supporter.
Sydney.
Ooh. Yeah.
Why Sydney?
Well, I'm from the area, South Melbourne. Middle Park. However, that's not the reason I go for the Swans. I really should go for St Kilda because my grandfather played 50 games for them.
Yep.
Really?
But
there you go.
As a impressionable four-year-old, I asked Dad, who do I go for? And he goes, Seth, you can't go for St Kilda. You have a life of misery.
He was spot on. He goes, follow
Plugger Lockett because Plugger won't let you down.
Yep.
And I took that advice quite literally and followed Plugger to the Swans.
Yeah. Who's your favourite player now?
Isaac Heaney. I love him.
You love Isaac Heaney. Talking about abs. Yep. He's got some good abs.
All right.
Big show, Sarah. Big show today.
We do have a big show coming up. I want to start off today by talking about Kyron Maguire.
Yes.
We were all watching the footy last night.
Yep.
This was something which really transcended the sport itself. Jay, you tweeted about it. Do you want to tell the listeners about what happened?
It's been the highlight of the season so far. Mavs, whatever happens this year, I think it'll struggle to match the emotion of last night. So little Kyron, who's down at the club this week, the players and the coaching staff were absolutely brilliant. He's got brain cancer.
At Collingwood,
He was at the Pies. And then so he was with the team yesterday and then ran out with them. And then at the end of the game, Scotty Pendlebury and Adam Treloar fully involved him, chaired him off the ground.
Beautiful.
His dad's there in tears, wiping them away with his jumper. And I just thought, like, we give the footballers a hard time at times when they stuff up booze cruises or big nights or whatever. Here is a footy club who are just nailing it at the moment with their support for people like Kyren. And look, just an absolute highlight. And you just could not watch. It was unmissable and it was brilliant.
All clubs do that, Jay. Not just Collingwood. All clubs do some sort of thing. Maybe not as, you know, prolific on a Friday night as public as that, but all clubs do wonderful things. So, yeah, well done, Collingwood Football Club.
Yep.
Can you remember a time at St Kilda where you did something similar?
Oh, I can picture lots of times where we went and visited. I mean, Grant Thomas was really good for us early days when we first started playing as young kids. And we used to go to visit people at their houses. So we used to get a few of us would drive to kids' houses or some people in situations and just rock up on their doorstep. That was sort of what we started doing. Yeah, Grant. And that was great for us as young, you know, 19, 20-year-old kids.
When what was the reaction?
All you're thinking about is footy. But then when Grant would make us do those sorts of things and we'd go and visit kids, it was a wonderful experience. It was just an eye-opener to realise the impact that you could have on other kids' lives, especially when you're young and only starting out your football career. So Grant Thomas was one of the first to do that with St Kilda, and we did it all the way through.
Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah.
I just asked Jay. Yes. I've now started on podcasts. I know I'm a bit behind the times. I've only just started listening to podcasts.
Joey's
and
in
I said to Jay, what's
mood.
Your podcast called again? He goes, which one? How many podcasts do you do,
big
mate?
Shot over here.
Mr. Right. Everywhere.
A bit of radio theatre, Joey.
Jay-Z Clark Everywhere.
Mucking around.
A bit of radio theatre. We're off air, mate.
Yeah, there are a couple. You are in a mischievous mood this morning, Joey. What'd you get up to last night? What'd you get up to? Sort of
what?
Quiet night in, Joey.
I caught up with a few schoolmates, went to the Malvern Hotel, had dinner, watched the footy.
Yeah, how much night. Of the, yeah. Oh, good.
What time did you get into bed?
Kick off?
No, I was home by 11:30-ish.
Great.
What time did you start?
Ish.
2 o'clock in the
What's
afternoon.
What's your podcast called? Which...
You know what it's called, Jock and Jerno Show.
That's it, the
and you know what?
Journo.
This is a brilliant segue, Sarah, because
the we're, Jock talking and about
we're talking about the
Magpies last night, a 39-point win at Marvel Stadium over the Power. Yep. And Pendles, you do that podcast with Jay. Yes. He was in terrific form.
He's
Talk
the Jock, you're the
well,
Jerno.
I've been banging on about this bloke being the best ball user in the competition for probably 3 or 4 years now. Now, if you were watching last night closely, Joey, Sarah, you would have seen that precision, that incise ball use. Last year, he couldn't bend over because he had that sore back, but he's been best on for the Pies the past 2 weeks, if not the past 3 weeks. He's going to shoot clear in the AFL coaches' votes again next week. He's possibly still Collingwood's best player, age 31, Joey.
He's that's playing good awesome football, and that's what people sometimes don't get to see. And we probably don't, I reckon, sometimes still in AFL industry. We don't talk about the injuries enough that players carry. And you're right, Pendles last year wasn't quite his best, that people were saying, and I was almost one of them thinking he might have been past his best. He might have to go out and play on a wing or halfback.
Yep.
Let these other, you know, star-studded midfield, the younger players play. But the last couple of weeks, he's been unbelievable.
Yep.
And I like it. He's sticking up for the veterans. All these blokes, we talked about Gary Ablett last week, Dave Mundy, Penderbury's doing it. It was great to see. Yes, we know he's got good skills. He's a very good player.
Who are the best, seriously, who are the two best ball users in footy at the moment? Because it could be the two old boys. Pendlebury, one of them, clearly in traffic because he's got the decision-making, time slow, all that stuff. The other one's probably Gary Ablett. Yeah. He's the most damaging ball user in the forward half. So it's the old boy.
Dave Mundy's a beautiful user.
Exactly.
It's a bit of a renaissance for some of these players. Even Travis Boak is having a renaissance in game 250 last night.
And Joey, this is why I told Alan Richardson a couple of years ago, I said, don't get rid of him because he's got the same sort of incisive left and right boot as well. I'm talking, don't look away from
me. Who are you talking about? Me?
You, Joey. You can bring the same sort of golden delivery.
I wish I had skills like that.
So maybe Joey could sign up for that one. But let's focus on Collingwood's forward line, Jay. You're pretty impressed with the forward structure. But last night, Ben Reid, the forgotten man, he comes back in. He kicks 1-4. I mean, could have been 2, 3, 4 goals there.
He looked good, didn't he?
But do they fit him in with Mason Cox? That's the big question.
Yeah, it is a great question, Sarah, because I think Collingwood has been really reluctant. In fact, they did set, have not wanted to play Cox, Majacek and Reid in the same forward 50. They love that speed and mobility with Degoe, Stevenson, Thomas, etc. But it's a huge headache now because you can't drop Benny Reid on last night. No. He wound back the clock. You know, he's fantastic presenting up at the ball. Yes, his accuracy wasn't there on goal, but he could have kicked the bag last night. I'm so happy to see this guy back playing some good footy. But if Mason Cox comes back, Joey, what do they do?
It's a good dilemma to have. It's a good dilemma, good decision for Nathan Buckley to have, whether he now sticks with the three talls, because you're right, Ben Reid, can't drop him on his form last night. I thought he was very impressive. But does he want to go with the three talls? So it's a good headache to have where
Carlton
you've actually got those decisions to make.
What would you do?
I think you've got to stick with now the play the three tools for a couple of weeks. Just have a look, see what it looks like.
Yep.
Who knows? It might actually make Collingwood look more formidable. If it doesn't work, well, then you drop one of the three and go back to what they've worked with. But I think maybe for a few weeks they've got
give
to
it
try.
A go.
I reckon they've got to.
Mason Cox's important as well to give Brodie Grundy
a chop out. Right.
Yep. He's probably better equipped doing that than Ben Reid. It's just on the flip side with Port Adelaide. We know the young guns, Rosie, Butters and Dersma, they've been a talking point for their season. And Ken Hinckley likes to keep them in until they can no longer be there. He doesn't like resting them. Jay, do you think it's time for maybe one or two of them to come out of the team?
Oh, look, I'd keep going with it. I mean, that wasn't their night last night. Rosie did some special things, and Dersma, I thought, looked okay. So, look, that'll be a team balance thing. I reckon they've got this young, exciting flair and this aggressive ball use, so I'd probably keep banging him in. What did jump out at me was the cook. Kenny Hinckley gave Scotty Lysett at quarter time. Did you see that? Because Scotty Lysett had a great game on Brodie Grundy in last year's grand final. Yep. Fair to say Kenny wasn't happy with his...
One of the captains, Ollie Wines, also got a bit of a bake.
Well, Collingwood dominated the stoppages. They were awesome around the clearances last night, which has been one of Port Adelaide's strengths all year. So they got well and truly beaten. The first quarter was unbelievable, though, wasn't it? It was a terrific first quarter.
13 scoring
by
shots.
The Pies. Big stage for Port Adelaide. The youngsters didn't quite handle it Friday night footy against Collingwood. But that's okay. It's a learning curve for Port Adelaide, and Collingwood just flexed their muscles and showed why they should probably be equal favourites with Geelong.
Jay, time for your famous news segment. Yes. What's floating about this morning for us?
If you've just tuned in, you're wondering what that fresh voice is. That's a wonderful Sarah Ollie, Joey, who's hosting while Em looks after
Fox Footies, little Sarah baby Ollie.
Yep, does a great job on Saturday nights. But you're right, some big news floating around. And Jeremy Cameron, he's a free agent next year, will be the most sought after free agent. I can tell you that the Cats are super keen on this man, and you don't have to be Einstein to realise why. Tom Hawkins, currently 30 years of age. The Cats are thinking, what is going to be their long-term succession plan? And Jeremy Cameron, Joey, in absolutely ripping form at the moment. 7 goals clear on the Coleman medal, 196 centimetres, plays so well above his knees, kicks goals around the corner every week. He would be absolutely perfect, would he not, for the Cats. He's a country boy, comes from the western part of Victoria. We know they like to recruit out of there. But he'll command $1 million a year. But would he be perfect for the Cats?
Yep. I think he'd be perfect nearly any team in the competition.
True.
He's probably at the moment, well, he is at the moment, the best key forward in the competition. So I don't mind that. So Geelong will be able to fit him in, you think, because Tom Hawkins will be 32 only next
31.
Year, 31.
Yep.
Obviously, Selwood Dangerfield are getting a little bit older as well. So there should be money in the salary cap. And, absolutely, I think you'd be stupid not to go after him. Geelong would be a great get if they could get him.
So do you think on the flip side as well, Jay, that the Giants potentially are going to have to squeeze someone out
more
again? Because, you know, we've got Kelly just signing that new deal and he could stay on for even longer.
Yep.
Cornelio Whitfield, these are all players that command a high price tag.
All $1 million a year.
Yep.
And we know Richmond have sort of had four high-priced players with Dusty, Koch, Rance and Riewoldt. So we know it's possible. But when they start to earn more than $1 million a year, which is what Kelly, Cornelio, Whitfield all sort of command, and I think Jeremy Cameron's due to be paid about $1.2 million plus next year. So that's his big whack next year. I think it's probably mission impossible or close enough to. So for the GWS lift chief, Jason McCartney up there, he's got some big, he's got some work to do. But I think it's going to be pretty hard to keep all of them. So do you, Joey, trade him this year? Because you can maybe try and get sort of a first and second round pick or two first round picks rather than next year.
Would you be trading him though?
No, I wouldn't trade him. I'd try and hang on to him. And I mean, the salary cap's going to continue to grow. They've got to try and figure a way to fit them all in. But you're right, Richmond paid four of their big guns. But the rest of the Richmond team really has been filled with a lot of the sort of worker bees, hasn't it? They've got a lot of those players in the team that are on minimal money, where the Giants have got a lot of players that would still be commanding good money. You know, Tomlinson's been sought after and a lot of these other players, Zach Williams, etc. So it's a difficult situation for the Giants. Other clubs are lucky they keep trying to pick off these big guns, but the Giants have got to try and make it work.
Hawthorn will be sniffing around as well. John Patton, who's due to be paid about $500,000, I think he may leave the club also. So a few pieces of the puzzle to move around.
Well, sticking with GWS, Jay, and there's some late outs for today's game.
Yeah, Josh Kelly and Phil Davis both out. So they take on St Kilda. It's Matty Bunteen and Haitley in. So, look, I still think GWS get this done easily, but a couple of big outs for them.
Yeah, it's a tough one for St Kilda. And I think, to be fair, St Kilda, we've got to, I don't think we've given enough credit to the weight of every the, all the issues they've got at the football club at the moment with these. They're not. We can't even sometimes call them injuries, but they're issues that they've got with some of their and their most loved players. I mean, now Jack Stephen taking indefinite leave, and that's on the top of Dylan Roberton, who's a much loved figure, not being able to play footy with his heart. Paddy McCartan, another much loved figure with his head. Dan Hannabury, their big recruit, who they haven't been able to get on the park in Carlisle. So eventually you think it's going to take its toll for this St Kilda club. They're doing such a great job with all these emotional issues they've got around their team. But they've been playing really competitive, and they will again today. I think they'll have a crack again, but I think Jay's right. GWS have probably got to be too much class.
Have you spoken to Jack Stephen?
I haven't yet. I'll touch base with him over the next couple of days, yeah.
And just quickly, Jay, Christian Petrarca, he had a bit of an interesting incident at training this week. What happened there?
Had to be rescued from a pool. He was doing the hypoxic training. Joey, you know this, they carry the weights. The surfers do it under the water, try and do laps of the pool underwater, carrying the big weights and medicine balls to build their tank. Fair to say, Christian may have stayed down a bit too long. Needed to be rescued. Got out, was feeling a bit lightheaded.
Hypoxia training, so it's basically where you try and hold your breath for as long as you can underwater, whether it's swimming or doing, as I said, carrying a medicine ball. And we did it one year. We had Trevor Hendy come and do some work at St Kilda, the famous Iron Man, Trevor Hendy, and we did some hypoxia training. It's one of the scariest things you ever do. Imagine trying to hold your breath for as long as you can underwater. Who do you think won? The one, the bloke that had to beat everybody. Nick Rewell couldn't help himself. He nearly passed out when he came up for air. No, he did, because
he didn't need saving?
No, he didn't quite need saving, but when he got out of the pool, he nearly needed saving. But he had to try and beat everybody, and he was able to do like 3.5 laps or something without taking a breath. It was ridiculous. I was happy just to come up and say, all right, I don't win. I don't care. Yes. I just want to survive.
I want to breathe.
I just want to live.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday Scoreboard. As always, plenty of sport happening around the country. And obviously last night, the football, Collingwood, 39-point winners over Port Adelaide. 15-18, 108 defeated the Power. 10-9-69. It was a comprehensive win by the Collingwood Magpies, particularly in the first quarter, Jay. They absolutely dominated. 7-6-3 behinds. It set up the game.
Are they the premiership favourite, Joey?
I still thought Geelong, and I probably still think Geelong, the way they're playing, but certainly Collingwood are the equal favourites or second favourites in my book. I think they're the two best teams in the competition at the moment. And Melbourne Storm, they played last night as well. They lost to Cronulla 20-18 at Shark Park. That's the Storm's second loss of the season, but they're still one of the premiership favourites as well. And in Super Rugby, the Melbourne Rebels, they face the Hurricanes in Wellington today at 3:15. And did you know A-League, finally, finals is underway. Yep. What seems like it's been going
for ages.
I know it's been going for a long time.
Joey,
but the Melbourne victory.
Yeah, she's been a bit flat this A-League season.
It has. It's sort of hit a bit of a wall, hasn't it? It's been going for a long time.
Can we fire that up a bit? Can we talk to the A-League chiefs? Maybe we should get them on. So what's going on? Yeah. We want a bit more pizzazz.
But finally, it's now finals time. And Melbourne victory, our boys, comprehensive last night. 3-1 winners over the Wellington Phoenix at Amy Park. Toivonen scored. I love saying the name. Toivonen. He scored. And Melbourne City, they play Adelaide United on Sunday. And a lot of NBA news. And in the second hour, after 11 o'clock, we're going to chat to Felix Von Hoff and chat all NBA news. But there's a couple of live games today. The Bucks and the Celtics, that series is tied at 1-1. Denver and Portland also 1-1. And Philadelphia, they defeated Toronto yesterday to go 2-1 up in the series. Our boy Ben Simmons doing great things.
We're going to talk about it later with Felix, but I don't think this is necessarily a lay down misere. I don't think the Warriors have got a bit of a fight on their hands. I think the whole year we thought, it's going to be the Warriors again, but I like what Philadelphia's doing. Boston are lifted.
Milwaukee is still the team to beat, I think. They're a very good team, but we'll chat to Felix about that in the second hour, Jay.
Yep.
Well, let's continue with a bit of footy chat, Jay. And an injury concern for the Pies last night with Taylor Adams. What happened there?
Yeah, hard nut Tay Adams. He didn't look good, did it, when he came off? He reached for his groin. Yeah, and it's an adductor injury. He tried to get back on, but could hardly move, to be honest. So, look, the Pies will put him through all the medical scans and assessment over the next 48 hours. I think he's going to miss some footy. That's pretty clear. I mean, as a really severe adductor injury can be about 6 weeks.
Okay.
Hopefully it's not that bad. But look, I think he'd be doubtful for the game against Carlton. Look, maybe even a week or two more. Collingwood's got to go through all the scans with him. But Chris Main to come back in, maybe that's a straight swap. But I expect Tay Adams to miss some footy. It didn't look good. Have you had a groin injury?
Yeah, adductors are not too bad. As you said, if it's a severe one, you can miss 6 weeks. Generally with adductors, they're not too bad. You can sort of get back and up and going in 1 or 2 weeks. So he might maybe just miss the one game. But
that'd be a good result.
Yeah, adductors are generally ones you can recover. recover
is
from
it just
quick.
Rest? Is that it?
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. Rest and then the physio work, but you can still run and all those sorts of things. Just need to let it heal.
A couple of rubs.
Yep.
Beautiful. Let's stick with Collingwood and Jay. They've got another Category B rookie. They're making a habit of this, Collingwood, aren't they?
Yeah, they picked up a gun basketballer. He actually played for the Boomers earlier this year. His name's Tom Wilson. He's idolised Scotty Pendlebury, of course. Geelong and the Pies were the two clubs most keen. And look, there's some excitement about this guy.
Who does he play like?
Yeah, he's 194 centimetres.
Big and boy.
There's a bit of Marcus Bontempelli about him,
really?
Joe.
Come
he's
on,
got
Jay.
Some moves
Come
in the
on.
Middle. He's going to need a bit of a development training, of course, but he's a confident young kid, right? And he wants to do big things in footy. So a bit of Pendlebury, a bit of Marcus Bontempelli about him. He'll certainly be one
so
to watch.
So with a Category B, yep. You're allowed to sign them up at any time, are you? So Collingwood signed him this week. So you can sign a Category B, another basketball or cricketer at any stage during the season.
I'm pretty sure you can't have played footy for 3 years.
Right.
So Tommy Wilson was a star at under 16 level. He was like literally one of the best players in the country.
Yep.
So that's where Geelong's used that to get Mark Blitzers, the steeplechaser. Steeplechaser? Oh, my God.
I didn't know that. Is he a steeplechaser?
Yeah,
I haven't heard that before.
The runner. So, look, if that's where they try and pick him off from other sports, but they can't have played footy in the past 3 years. So this is where clubs are getting creative, showing some initiative to look outside their own backyard.
So Tom Wilson's coming in, and already you're comparing him to the Bont and Scott Pendlebury.
He's got moves.
No pressure there, Tom.
I want to be honest about it.
It's like when these draftees come in and they're the next Joel Selwood.
Yeah,
it's a little bit unfair.
You're not going to say I'm the next,
Lee Montagna.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
if someone asks you, who do you play like? You don't say, I play like Levi Greenwood.
But it gives you an immediate picture of he's a smooth-moving
exactly right. Now I'm looking forward to watching Tom Wilson play.
Now it's time to get nostalgic. It's nice to go down memory lane, isn't it, Joey? And Jay, this was your idea. You want to talk about our best memory of a home and away game. That's something that perhaps you go and look up on YouTube when you want to get a bit nostalgic.
Well, it's the Geelong-Essendon game tomorrow, the country game, of course. And it got me thinking about that unforgettable game in 1993, round six. You'll all remember where Gary Ablett kicked 14 goals up
That's
one
insane.
End. And then Paul Salmon, the big fish, kicked 10 down the other end. And this, for me, is the one game which just is always in my mind or jumps out at me as being that footy shootout at its best. Because as a young person from Geelong, I would go to the footy, Joey and Sarah, not necessarily thinking, oh, the Cats will win today. Geez, they've got to beat the Demons by, such and such, whatever. It was purely, you would say to your mates as you walked in, how many is he going to get today? How many is Gary Ablett going to kick today? And in this game, I was there, and just to see him absolutely take mark after mark, have so much space in the forward 50, Gary Ablett Sr., just lay him across the body. You know, the one where he, that highlight where he didn't quite pick it up at first attempt, so he went back for it, just that left foot snap for a goal, and then down the other end in the next quarter, I think he was crunched on either side in that marking contest, Gary Ablett Sr. Derek kick it on one side, Chris Danaher on the other, and the Cats won by 4 goals. But that's just sort of something you think now, watch today's game. That's never going to happen again.
I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow night. Anyway, anything like
We'd
that.
We'd be lucky to get 14 and 13 for two
exactly
teams,
right,
wouldn't we?
Exactly
letting alone two
right
players.
What about you guys? What's your favourite home and away game in the memory bank?
Well, mine, I'm showing my Swans biases here, is a game that the Swans won at the Cattery back in 2011. Now, the Cats had won 29 games straight, and the Swans snapped that winning streak.
Yes.
And the thing that sticks with me is that the Swans were all wearing black armbands because Jared McVeigh's daughter Luella had passed away.
Yes.
And it was such an emotional win.
Good
Adam
call.
Goods was on fire. And I just remember that outpouring of emotion.
Yep.
And I mean, the Cats went on to win the flag that year, so it's a pretty good win anyway down at Cadinia Park. Yeah. But that, for me, will stick with me, that siren, especially seeing Goodsy and that emotion was just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember obviously playing in the famous game 2009, St Kilda and Geelong. We were both undefeated, 13-0, biggest crowd ever at Etihad Stadium at the time, 54,000 or something. I remember the noise in that stadium was electric. But for me as a kid, I remember the famous Essendon and the Kangaroos game in 2001.
The comeback?
So the year before I got drafted, it was 15-3. The Kangaroos were up midway through the second quarter. 15-3.
It's crazy.
And Essendon came back to win. It was 25-27. Lloyd kicked 9. It's just one of those moments where you just remember that game. It was unbelievable how many goals were just getting kicked. Minute after minute, and 27, I think it was 27-9 to 25-9.
Yeah.
Like, talk about accuracy.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened to players these days, but both teams were on fire that day.
That was I think that's one of the biggest comebacks of all time?
I think it is 69 points down. I think it is.
Hey, for Essendon and Geelong fans, you'll be sitting in your car looking forward to tomorrow's game, I'm sure. Let's just have a re-listen to that fabulous 1993 game.
Salmon in the front has taken the mark.
What a magnificent kick by Salmon. It's a goal.
Dream start to Essendon.
Ablett shoots from about 50 metres. Lovely kick by Ablett.
Might be okay. Ablett slung off the ball. Snapshot. He's got his fourth. Ablett. Snap. Number 10. This is a treat. Salmon at one end. Ablett at the other.
Looking for Salmon. He does well. Does very well. Does extremely well.
He's kicked 10.
And off the left foot. Oh!
He's 14 against Richmond, which he's done.
All the feels there, hey?
Ablett, though. Ablett's still going around.
Yeah.
And Ablett's still on fire. He might do some damage tomorrow night too, Gaz, because he's in pretty good form.
Yes, I am. Junior. I love that game. He's in absolutely great form, that's for sure. Hey, Joey, you know we like to do this every week. Give you a real curly question or a hard decision to pick one.
Yep.
I got a beauty for you this week. Do you want? I'll give it to you now. You can stew over it for the next 10 minutes. We'll come back with it after the break. But pick one of these two players. All right, who would you rather in your team? Melbourne co-captain Jack Viney or Collingwood hard nut Taylor Adams?
Yeah. Let that one stew.
I've got one for you too. I reckon I'll give you one back in the second hour.
All right. Well, think about that.
The Dead Set Legends Triple M.
Devin Smith,
yep.
I opened the paper yesterday to look at the tips, Jay, in the Herald Sun, your paper. He's tipped against his side.
What's going on there?
Quite amusing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Fair to say there was a fair bit of feedback. I think Devin's phone blew up, and certainly we got a few calls here at the Herald Sun. Why on earth would the Essendon forward midfielder pick the Cats in the country game tomorrow? Well, I think he's been stitched up. I can clear this up for us, gang. I think one of his cheeky, mischievous teammates down there at Tullamarine might have just stolen his phone, gone into his emails and done his tips and picked the Cats instead of the Bombers, and it slipped through the net. Joey, don't look at me like that.
Who's then the journalist that then thought, oh, Devin Smith's tipped Geelong, I'll just put it in the paper that he's tipped Geelong. Surely someone, don't journalists cross-check?
How many games did you play? 287? Yep. Did you ever kick a clanger? Did you ever send one out in the full, Joey?
Never. So someone at Herald Sun just thought, oh, Devin Smith's tipped Geelong, we'll just put Geelong in the paper.
Hey, let's get off the journalists back and back to Devin Smith's teammates. Who do you reckon
who's
was
the most
one behind
cheeky?
It all?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I feel like it's something that Devin Smith may do to some of his teammates. He's a bit cheeky.
Yeah, he is a bit cheeky. These sorts of gags going in a footy club. You got to live such boring lifestyles. You got to have some fun somehow, don't you, Joey?
That's exactly right.
Spice up the week.
If that was their fun, I tipped Geelong instead of Essendon. Hilarious down at Bomberland.
What about you, Joey? Any stitch-ups at St Kilda?
There's always plenty of stitch-ups. Normally it's more funny if you get the phone and you text the coach or something and just do something like that. You don't text necessarily tip the opposition, but always stitch-ups. It's always a bit of fun. You have a bit of banter.
One of my friends used to get mates' phones and just like text random people, what are you wearing? Which always cause a bit of controversy, especially if it was sent to an old flame or a female friend or something like that. So that's always a good one.
We did something similar just after school. We'd hack into people's Facebooks and add someone they had a crush on or something along those lines, set them up like that.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you're stalking on Facebook not to like something accidentally.
Someone accidentally. I've done that. Yeah, not good. Coming back after 12 is the Saturday Rub with BTJB, Wayne Carey, Billy Brownless and Damien Barrett before the D's take on the Hawks at the MCG. Jay, this shapes as a very big match, particularly... What's going on there with your phone? We're on air.
Is that Siri?
That was Siri. Whoops. Turn that back on to silent. Sorry, Siri. Yes,
that's
it is.
Right.
It's a massive game for Melbourne. Look, I tipped them for the flag, to be honest, at the start of the year. I saw their on-ball potency, their scoring power. They made the preliminary final with some, quality recruits and Steve May, Jake Lever coming back. And, geez, haven't they had a really poor start to the season? Today is absolutely massive. And I want to turn the attention onto this young on-ball group, Sarah and Joey, because Clayton Oliver, Angus Brayshaw, I couldn't believe it when we unearthed this stat throughout the week with the good help of Champion Data. They have not scored from a centre clearance for the past two games. Now, that is their one wood, isn't it? Winning the hard nurry out of the footy, quick ball, moving the forward line. They ranked number one in that area last year. And with the new rules, more breath around the contest, we thought, this is perfect. They're going to dominate that. But what's happened, Joey? Is it an issue of these young players not being accountable enough, getting beaten on defensive transition? Is it the second year Blues? Did they get ahead of themselves? What's your take on this young Melbourne group?
I think that's fair. I think it's a combination of everything. I think certainly we can all acknowledge they probably, and they might not admit it internally, but they probably just got a little bit comfortable with where they thought they were at, and they probably just thought natural progression might take them to the top four again. But as we know in this competition, it's so brutal. If you don't continue to improve and continue to work hard, you get left behind really quickly. It seems that that's been a bit of the case with Melbourne, because it's clearly not a talent thing. We look at their team, we know they've got talent. So it's not like they don't have enough of that amongst them. I think the centre clearances, and I reckon I flagged it with you when you spoke at the start of the year about how this would suit Melbourne with Gawn and dominant ruck, and we all thought yes,
so
it would help. But other teams, I think, put more effort into defending Melbourne at centre clearances because they are so good.
Because, how so?
Well, because they've got the best ruckman in the competition in Gawn and the gun on ballers. Other teams now will spend a bit more time, how do we stop Melbourne from getting centre clearance scores?
So they would do that?
Well, you just play more negative in there.
Yep.
So instead of you trying to necessarily win the football out of the centre clearance and have your own patterns, you might say, let's just nullify Melbourne's influence. Let's make it a nil-all draw in there, because a nil-all draw against Melbourne in a centre clearance or a clearance situation in general is a win for nearly every team in the competition because of Gawn's dominance. So there's been a combination of that. I do think that they just got a little bit comfortable with where they're at, particularly maybe some of their younger players and their midfield, potentially. I can't speak on their behalf, but it seems that way from the outside, because as I said, it's not a talent thing. So clearly it's been a bit of an effort thing, a bit of a work rate issue. And I still also believe a little bit of system. I think Melbourne's defensive system is not quite as strong as a lot of the other teams in the competition this season. And I think that's been exposed. Well, I just don't think they're defending as strongly as other teams in the competition.
Up the ground?
Behind the ball.
Yeah.
I think they're trying very hard to press, and they want to do forward half turnovers, and they come forward really well. But as we've seen, they get exposed out the back. So I just think they're tinkering with that at the moment. They did a pretty good job, or a bit of a better job, against Richmond last week. Mm-hmm. But it's a combination of a number of factors that have led to Melbourne's demise this season.
We've heard about the surgeries, Joey. It seems to be a common theme that there were so many players that just couldn't get out on the park. You know about backing up, being a successful team September after September. Is this just something that the Demons have to get used to?
Because
the good teams do it.
Yeah, exactly
they?
Right. I think they'll learn from this. So I think they'll come back next year absolutely much better poised. You're right. No doubt the surgeries as well has been a factor. Just limited pre-seasons always make it hard to get the very best out of yourself. Every player will admit the best seasons they've had is when they've had a full pre-season. That's just by better getting that workload into your body, having that preparation there so that you can bank all the work. So when the season does come and you need to have your days off and you are sore, you've got the money in the bank. And at the moment, too many Melbourne players probably didn't have their best pre-seasons through surgeries.
And Jay, a bit of soul searching this week down at the Demons. What went on there?
That was a couple of weeks ago. Sorry, Sarah, with the Circle of Truth. They all sort of got together and had that discussion. That was a few weeks ago. On Monday, they went down to Casey and trained away from prying eyes. So that is where,
mouth guards in.
Yeah, they could be doing some tweaking of the game plan. Jordan Lewis flagged that. So it will be interesting. But you'd think, Joey, that Hawthorn, with that kicking game, are going to test their defensive transition and stretch the ball use to the absolute last inch of the boundary line, don't you think? Like, they'll be going wide to get Melbourne's midfield moving around defensively.
Yeah, Hawthorn always do use the ball pretty well. But what's underestimated with Hawthorn is they have always been one of the best pressure teams in the competition. And this season, they are applying the most pressure of any team in the comp.
The Hawks.
And they're one of the best systems behind them. So we're defending behind the ball. The Hawks have got a strong system behind the ball. So that's the trademark of a Hawthorn game. We all talk about their kicking, but it's their pressure and defensive system. And that's why I think the Hawks will be too good today.
Well, if you know one thing, Clarko will have a plan. Now, boys, it's NBA playoff time. There is plenty to unpack. And to do that, we've got NBA expert from Fox Sports, Felix von Hoff, on the line. Felix, thanks for joining us.
G'day. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure, Felix. Hey, I want to get straight to the Philadelphia 76ers. Our boy, Ben Simmons. Nice old rivalry going on with Kyle Lowry at the moment. I think he elbowed him in the groin yesterday. A year ago, they wanted to fight each other off the court. So there's plenty of happening. But the 76ers, mate, 2-1 lead now over Toronto. How far can they go?
Well, the way that they played last game, I think they can go. And it's hard to say all the way. I think they could potentially make it to the finals. But the Warriors are a totally different beast this year, and I can't see anyone getting past them if it goes all the way. But Philadelphia are finally playing the sort of basketball where it's, you've put this roster together and they're finally sort of living up to potential, and it has only been one game, so it might be a bit of an early crow, but pretty good looking signs from Philadelphia so far.
Hang on, so you think, you just said something there that the Warriors lock them in for the title. I thought they might be a bit vulnerable this year. I don't know whether it's the 76ers or Boston. I thought they could take it up to this side, but you think it's the Warriors chip again?
No, I think it's the Warriors chip again. I think that just the way that Kevin Durant's playing at the moment, there's no way that you can stop that group. But I think just as sports fans, we always try to, we want to see someone take it to the Warriors. So we sort of pick and try to find little issues with them. And, you know, I thought that when DeMarcus Cousins came into the team that he was going to destroy the team from the inside, as he has with a couple of franchises in the NBA. But no, that didn't happen. And now that he's injured, I can't really see anything stopping them at the moment with the way they're playing, especially.
There is a game live at the moment, halftime, Milwaukee versus Boston. Boston lead by 1 point. That series is tied at 1-1. That might be the team, whichever team wins that series might play the Philadelphia 76ers. I want to ask you, Felix, about Milwaukee and about Giannis Antetokounmpo, or whatever they call him, the big Greek freak.
Close enough.
That's why they call him the Greek freak, Sarah, because no one can pronounce his surname.
That is cool.
MVP race, Felix. It's between Giannis and James Harden. Who do you think will win the MVP?
Well, as it always is with the NBA and the MVP award, there's always a case for who should win it, and then there's a case for who will win it. I think Giannis will win it. I think James Harden should win it. But the way that the NBA goes, they love a storyline, and I think the way that Giannis has just come up from Milwaukee, it's a bit of a nothing place. No one really wants to go to Milwaukee, but it's turned into a bit of a hot spot for NBA fans now, and he's brought that franchise up from nothing. So I think that's why he's going to get the award. I personally think with what James Harden's done this year, especially during that injury period for the Houston Rockets, that he deserves it, but I think Giannis has got it locked up.
We're speaking to Felix von Hoff from Fox Sports about the NBA playoffs. I want to ask you about that man, James Harden, because hasn't he been in the news over the past week? Felix, what do you think of his playing style? Because there's been a lot of talk about the flopping, the sort of the going to ground after three-point shots, these non-fouls. Do you like James Harden's game style, or do you think he sort of sooks it up a bit?
Well, I think that it's hard because he's playing towards the rules, and a lot of the stuff that he's doing, it is a legitimate foul. Whether it should be a foul or not is up for debate.
Felix, he flops.
I think they
come on.
So, you know, he flops, but you've also, as someone who just shot threes for a career, you've just got to protect that landing room as a player. And we saw Kawhi Leonard go down a couple of years ago with that ankle injury with someone doing the same thing. But no, I think that James Harden digs his own grave in a way there. And to complain about it the way that he has in the last couple of games, I think that Draymond was pretty happy to catch him in the eye there in game two.
I reckon, Jay, it's a little bit like what Joel Salad did for a long time with the getting the free kick for the shrug of the arms. I think it's in the rules
technique.
And the technique, and technically the frees are there, like the fouls for James Harden. Mm-hmm. But I think for the spirit of the game, we sort of don't want to see it, do we? We sort of want them to just play the game on the merits, even though they're playing within the rules. But, Felix, you think, with you said that the Golden State Warriors are going to be almost impossible to beat. They're 2-0 up on the Houston Rockets. Do you see Portland as being a bit of a dark horse if they take on the Golden State Warriors? Because Damian Lillard is catching the attention of everyone with the performances he's putting together. Are they the team to challenge the Golden State Warriors?
Look, I'd love to say yes, but I also think that...
I think Felix has just dropped his phone.
Yeah.
He just dropped your phone on live radio, didn't you, Felix?
it really sucks being a realist sometimes during the NBA playoffs, because everybody wants these sort of come-from-behind wins, but I'm just not sure anyone can take it to the Warriors. But if anyone is going to do it, look, I think that I'd rather Portland go through than the Nuggets, because I don't think the Nuggets are able to take it to the Warriors at all. But Portland, you never know with Damian Lillard, he can fire up to 30, 40 points, even 50 we saw with that late game buzzer beater against OKC. But no, they're definitely one to watch.
I want to ask you about Tom Wilson, Felix, but what'd you just do with your phone, mate?
Did you actually drop your phone then, Felix?
Sorry?
Did you just drop your phone then?
No. I don't know what went through there.
Oh, all good.
Hey, like a professional.
Now, Tom Wilson, he's one of your mates and he's just been signed by the Pies. You'd be wrapped. How good is this man at sport generally?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. And look, Collingwood have got themselves a starting five right now with Scott Pendlebury, Jack Madison, Tom Wilson, Braden Maynard, and throw Mason Cox in there at the five. You've got a pretty decent-looking team. But, no, I think it's fantastic, and it's a great move by Collingwood. Look, he was a real gun footy player back when he was playing when he was 16, and he was in the Vic Metro program back then. So I think that he's an absolute workhorse. He was with basketball, just didn't, unfortunately, pan out the way he wanted, and that AFL money is sometimes very hard to turn down.
Oh, boy.
So I think it's a pretty good move for Tom.
Well, Felix von Hoff, thank you for your time, and hold on to that phone, will you? Have a good weekend. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now it's time for everything. Oh, so I should say something that everyone's been waiting for. It's the pick one, Jay.
Jay loves this.
We like to do it every week. We're trying to stump Joey with a really tough sort of footy question. Yes. I don't want no one sitting on the fence, Joey.
I don't ever sit on the fence.
No, you're usually pretty good, but this is a really difficult one. So I want you to be very clear and direct in your answer. Now, who would you rather if you could only pick one player? Melbourne co-captain Jack Viney or Collingwood hardnut Taylor Adams? Pick one, Joey.
Fully fit, both healthy.
Fully fit, both healthy. In my team. Ploughing into the contest.
I'd take Jack Viney.
Would you?
Yeah.
I think I'd be the other bloke.
I think Jack Viney's just ahead. I think Jack Viney's slightly ahead as a better player than Taylor Adams.
What about the kicking side of things? Like, so we know he's a hard nut, Jack Viney. Yeah. He's a contested bully.
He's not a Scott Pendlebury type disposal, but I don't think Taylor Adams is a great kick either. Right. He can turn the footy over. Yeah. I think Jack Viney's a slightly better player than Taylor Adams. Why, you disagree? You think?
Well, Taylor, you look back at Taylor Adams' whole final series last year, and that just sort of jumps off
Jack Viney
the
at his best. Picture Jack Viney. You've got a bit of Jack Viney at the moment where he's a bit underdone. Think about Jack Viney at his best.
Who kicks the most goals?
I'd say
Taze maybe got his nose ahead. Who would you have, Sarah?
I think Viney just.
Did you?
What about?
He's never fit, though. He can't really pick him.
I'll give you one, Jay. I'll let you pick these ones. What about who would you want in your team right now?
Yep.
Sarah, you can add this one as well. Joe Danaher or Tom Lynch?
Excellent question. I would rather have... Jeez, that's a good one, Joey. Tom Lynch. Yeah, he can lead the competition in contested marks. I know Joey's got the athleticism. He's been off the boil over the past 18 months, and I know Tommy's had his injuries as well. But to play for my life, if you're going to take on the aliens for planet Earth. I'd have Tommy Lynch, because you know he's going to, boom, break open that pack.
Okay. No, I'm going to go Joe Danaher.
Yeah?
Good, yeah.
And that goal, that 70-metre bomb or whatever
it was. He just reminded us, didn't he, on Anzac Day.
That was something. Yeah.
Thanks, Joey.
Thank you. I thought you would say Tom Lynch, because you were telling me at the start that he's the best player in the competition. He's going to win the
good.
Coleman.
I picked him for the Coleman, and he's second in the Coleman.
Now, that was okay pick ones, but I think I've got the one that's going to get the juices flowing.
Or at least the saliva flowing. Okay.
If you got to pick one.
Yep.
The humble dim sim.
Yes.
Or potato cake.
Good one. Joey, you're the food connoisseur.
I am the food connoisseur. I'll tell you what. This is a true story, actually. This will answer your question. True story. When I first retired from footy, one of the first things I did, I went to the fish and chip shop here in South Melbourne.
Yep.
I went and got 3 fried dim sims.
Yep.
I literally, by the time I walked out of the shop, I'd finished all 3, Rosie. Do you know what I did? I turned around.
Yes,
I went back in and said, can I please go and get 2 more? Because it was one of those things, once I retired from football, all these things that I could now start eating.
Yep.
So I'm a dim sim man. I love
it. And fried?
Well, that's a tough one. On a cold day, I like a steamed dimmy with lots of soy sauce too. Mm. And when it burns your hand, when you try and get out of the packet and it burns your mouth, I like that as well. I'm a dim sim man.
I'm definitely a steamed dimmy.
Yep.
The more soy, the better.
You can't have enough soy.
You cannot have enough. Yep. Unfortunately, I've been having them on Sunday mornings a bit too frequently lately. They're a nice little treat on a hangover, steamed dimmy.
How many do you have this morning, Joe?
I haven't had it yet. I'm now thinking about getting some on the way out of here.
I'm a recent convert,
so I've come from potato cakes to dimmies, but have to be fried.
Yeah.
And lots of soy sauce. And people that just put salt on it can get in the bin.
Hey, Joey.
Are you Jay?
Yeah, I'm steamed dim sim.
You're a dimmy
steamed
man as well.
With lots of soy sauce. Hey, changing tack quickly. Massive game, Carlton versus North Melbourne. Both teams 1-5. Sarah, I want to ask you about this North Melbourne Footy Club, Joey and Sarah, because they're not, for a team that probably not high on skill, they've got a pressure problem, a big pressure problem. They're ranked second last for pressure. If they're going to win and turn around this season, they need to put some fair dinkum heat on the opposition, because they haven't been doing this this year, Joey. So I think looking at their worst 2 pressure players, other than the key forwards and the rucks, Jasper Pittard, Jared Pollock. Now, they're brought to the footy club to add a bit of sausage and the sizzle, sizzle and the sausage on their...
talking about food now,
on
hey?
The outside. But if I'm Brad Scott tomorrow, I'm firing up the boys, and it's that pressure, that tackling, harassing, got to go through the roof.
Yeah, I think it just sums up a little bit about where the Kangaroos are at, and we've spoken about them the last few weeks on this show, Jay, about what sort of team are they? Where are they at? Are they a team that thinks they're pushing for a finals berth? Are they a team that's rebuilding? What's their brand? You know, when you picture the Kangaroos, you know, you can picture other teams and their style of football. The Kangaroos, for whatever reason, you can't really picture how they want to play. At the start of the year, they wanted to be this high handball team. They wanted to play fast. They realised pretty quickly in the year that you can't play that way anymore. Every other team's gone the opposite and kicking the football and maintaining the ball. So, yeah, they've got a lot of problems, the Kangaroos, at the moment. But you're right. One thing that can be corrected in a week is your effort and your pressure. That is something that takes no skill, doesn't take training, doesn't take talent. It
just takes
effort. I've tipped the Kangaroos only because of Carlton's injuries.
I tip the Blues with that young elite core and no big injuries, but I reckon they can do the job with that young talent out of the middle.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
I'll go first, shall I, Joey? I'll tell you what I'm real sick of this week, and these people who do this need a big spell. It's the Game of Thrones spoilers. Now, I want a 48-hour amnesty when, look, some of us, you know, we need time. We need a day or two.
You can't watch it at 11 o'clock on a Monday?
No, correct. It takes me till Tuesday or Wednesday, sometimes to get around this. So if you've seen the next Game of Thrones episode, can you just not put it on Twitter or Facebook, what your thoughts on the key sort of moment, et cetera? So just give me a spell. Stop doing it. Give me some time. 48-hour amnesty, please.
You know what I hated? When someone just wrote a name. So you didn't know. Have they done something great? Have they died?
It was pretty clear what was, if you'd watched Twitter, you'd seen what was going to happen.
Well, give me a spell. I like it, Jay.
Yep.
I'm going to one-up you, I think.
Yep.
So I'm driving here, trying to get here with a bit of time. First show with you guys, a bit nervous. And I get to the intersection of Punt Road and Olympic Boulevard.
Yep.
What is going on there?
Oh, yeah. What's happening there?
I get put into a lane. I'm on the other side of the road. I feel like I'm about to have a head on. I'll have to call you guys from an ambulance. Give me a spell. Ruin that intersection.
Very good. Nice start, Sarah. Might give me a spell. Front page of the Herald Sun. Facebook. They drive me nuts anyway, Facebook. I'm over it. But now, they're banning a Road Safety Authority ad from posting an ad because it's apparently too gory or sensational.
Spare me.
They banned a breast cancer survivors from doing a topless campaign because they didn't want that. Yet we can put all this other rubbish and crap on Facebook. Yep. Give me a spell, Facebook. Get your act together. They're doing my head in.
I agree.
I'm with you, Joey. Facebook.
I agree. And now, Joey, you're going to...
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
Yeah, you touched on it in the opener, you guys. Kyren Maguire, the young fella last night, and Collingwood Football Club as well, for their actions and what they did in bringing to life his night where they cheered him off the field after the game last night. It was great scenes. We heard, let's listen to Nathan Buckley to sum it up beautifully for us.
It actually makes the game less significant, doesn't it? We are playing a game of footy and we all take it really seriously and it's our profession. We spend a lot of time on it, lives on it. To have Kyren and his family in and to share the last couple of days with them and the experience and the way that our boys handled it after the game was amazing, really, and quite emotional. So that's real life, and it was good to put a smile on the young fella's face.
Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley there, and there's no doubting that Kyren Maguire is a Dead Set legend. Well, that's all from us, Joey and Jay. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Well
coming
done,
up
Sarah,
next, thank you.
Boot.
Well done, Sarah.
It's the Saturday Rub. That's all from us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.